The Hebrew word dayenu means it would have been enough. It feels like there's already been enough in this morning to call us to prayer, but today we get a big story. The desert is where this story happens. And you'll remember that the desert is a dangerous place. It never rains in the desert, so it's very hard for anything to grow there or to find any water to drink. People die. People get lost in the desert. It's always changing. When the wind comes, it blows the sand and the shape changes, and people lose their way. The desert is a dangerous place. You need to be ready to go into the desert.
The people of God were living in a place where rains did not fall. The crops had no water, so they could not grow. There was no grain to grind to make bread. Everyone was hungry. The children cried in their sleep. So their mothers and fathers decided to take their children and go to a land where there was food. They had to go, even if it was across the desert. Their journey began. It was hard in the desert, but they kept going toward a land called Egypt. In the land of Egypt, the king was called a Pharaoh. When the people came into the land of Egypt, they found food and work, but the Pharaoh trapped them. They could not go home again. They had to do what the Pharaoh said. They had to live where the Pharaoh said. They had to get up when the Pharaoh said. They had to go to bed when the Pharaoh said. They had to do the work the Pharaoh said. They had to do everything the Pharaoh said. They were slaves.
One of the people, whose name was Moses, came to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And the Pharaoh said, "No." Moses went back many times to tell the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But the Pharaoh always said, "No." Then many strange things happened in the land. But the Pharaoh always said, "No." And then something terrible happened. The oldest boy in each Egyptian family died, even in the family of the Pharaoh. And this time, when Moses said, "Let my people go," the Pharaoh said, "Yes." The people began to hurry to get ready. They packed all they could carry and they baked bread for the journey. There was no time to put the leaven in the bread so it would swell up and get big and fluffy like the bread we enjoy. It was flat. You can still eat this bread today. It's called matzah. And whenever you taste it, you can still taste this story.
God went in front of the people of Israel in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel both day and night. Neither the pillar of cloud nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. When the people reached the sea, God came so close to Moses, and Moses came so close to God, that he knew how to get the people through the water into freedom. Moses stretched his hands out over it. God drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on the right and on their left. When the Pharaoh, with his chariot and his chariot drivers, went into the sea in pursuit of the Israelites, the waters of the sea closed once again. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then, with gratitude, the prophet Miriam, sister of Moses, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing.
I wonder what part of this story you liked best. I wonder what part of this story you think is most important. I wonder what part of this story is about you.
Herein lies good news.
Thanks be to God. And so if you're familiar with that story, you may wonder where it started. You may be thinking of that little baby that was put into a basket and left into the Nile to see what would happen. You may have images from Sunday school of a princess bending down and rescuing him. Or as a grown man, Moses committing murder. Moses, the refugee, fleeing his country to safety in another burning bush. Perhaps you have images from the movie The Ten Commandments. That bush speaking to Charlton Heston. Or the Nile River turning red in the movie. Moses later states in Deuteronomy, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the eternal God freed you from there. Therefore, God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." And so the remembering of this story, the tasting of the story, is marked each Sabbath by Jewish people. And for 8 days in the Jewish calendar year, they mark the Passover story and meal. This is an epic story. We could stay all day exploring parts of it. It's the fourth chapter in our reading through the Bible together. It also is the story that connects us to those 7 days of creation, for the day of rest becomes a day to remember the journey to freedom. Freedom, deliverance, meaning to rescue from something, liberation, to save, to release. I wonder what your story of freedom is, or a story in your family of someone choosing freedom or working for liberation. Deliverance is God's work in this Exodus story. And Moses may seem to be the hero, but there are also a few key women. There are not many women as the focus of each chapter as we go, but I want you to pay attention to the women in this story. At the beginning of the story, when Pharaoh is raging against the Hebrew people, it's the midwives who do the saving. The midwives at first save all of the little ones. They defy Pharaoh, even to the point of rescuing them by hiding them. They are critical to God's story of liberation. Remember in Jesus' birth story, Herod also goes and has baby boys killed in order to stop the predicted liberation. He was afraid of what the prophets had proclaimed. And as we hear this story again, may we remember and honor the midwives who bravely work for God's promise of deliverance all over the world. Pharaoh's daughter, you may think of her as the only princess. It's said that there were 59 daughters of Pharaoh, so I think there would have been many children in Pharaoh's household. But this daughter, this one, reached out and offered care beyond borders to a Hebrew child. This unnamed daughter is key to rescue, to saving, and inevitably to Moses growing to be the one to save God's people. And lastly, Miriam, the older sister of Moses, she's critical to this story. Not only does she rescue her brother by following the basket on its journey down the river, but at the right time, she offers her mother as a wet nurse for him when Pharaoh's daughter adopts him. She saves her family from that separation. And later, she plays a key role in reminding the people of their freedom. Of first being the one to dance and give thanks to God for freedom. Miriam inspires us to dance. This morning, Let us pause and give thanks for the women in our lives who have literally been part of delivering us, who work on behalf of God, teaching, rescuing, and sometimes even saving us. Women who have bravely shown God's grace. Moses grows up to be another unexpected hero. Moses, adopted, murderer, refugee, shepherd, stutterer, some may say God avoider. I have yet to see a children's book or any popular movie depict Moses as the small, slight man that he might have been. Instead, we picture him as the 6'3" Charlton Heston bearded character. God uses this one, Moses, to free God's people. The least likely to do great things, God uses. And it's to Moses that God speaks through the burning bush. And this powerful image stays with us as we hear those words of God calling Moses by name, saying, "Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground." And on this holy ground, God gives God's name, I am. God wants us in this story to know who God is, that God is, and God has been, and God will be. God is the one who brings things into being. God is the one who knows us by name. In Hebrew scriptures, the word is Yahweh, meaning to be. God is, God was, God has been. I am. The same I am who is with Jesus, adopted, refugee, carpenter, who hears God's voice out of the waters in the sign of a dove. You are my beloved. And later in the New Testament, that Exodus story is remembered when we hear Jesus teaching and saying to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There is no time that we are separated from God. And the story continues with that dramatic showdown between Moses and Pharaoh. "Let my people go." Perhaps you need this African-American spiritual to remind you. We see the connection of these words in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah, when he's brave enough to speak in the synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Let my people go." The story of deliverance is told so we will remember whose side God is on, that God is on the side of those who don't have power, those who have been waiting to be heard, who have been silenced, who are not free, who are oppressed. The story gives confidence to those who have been afraid to speak out. The story has had an impact on many revolutions known in our time around the world. In World War II, freedom fighting, in civil war, in third world liberation theologies, in anti-apartheid action. This story calls us to remember the promises of God in our own lives and in the lives of the world. So we remember God listens. We remember God never forgets God's promises. We remember that God responds when we cry for help. And so this day, perhaps you will snuggle up with a movie and watch the story. You can get the Ten Commandments, or perhaps you will find the Prince of Egypt, the song of which the girls sang, that closing image of the movie, the story of a prince who remembered who he was, who heard the call and acted. The story of a people who were brave enough to pack everything up and go. The story ends in that movie with that music playing as people stream out of Egypt to freedom. The words read, "Many nights we prayed with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts, a hopeful song we barely understood. Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. For you were moving mountains long before we knew we could. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve?" And so we take those words into our own lives this morning. In fact, we bring them to this table, always remembering that hope is never lost. The story calls us with each taste to the freedom that has been promised, freedom that is given, freedom for all. Remember, taste this story.